This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian, nutritionist. I am your host, and I weigh in on a weekly basis on various topics, your questions, and other health news and information that I'm compelled to share with you. That's the reason for the Intelligent Medicine podcast. You can email me to radioprogram@aol.com. That's radioprogram@aol.com. Send me your questions, topics of interest, all of that. And I've got one here from Francis. Francis says, "Hi, Layla. Thank you for all you do for us. I'm a longtime listener and fan." Thanks, Francis, for listening to these podcasts. Thank you. My question is about wheat. I know we should avoid it as much as possible, especially in bread, cookies, buns, etc. I follow this and agree with it. However, I'm curious about other wheat products which may have nutritional value. Products like wheat germ, which is apparently a great source of vitamin E, cream of wheat, which appears to have a nutritional value if I made it with water or coconut milk. Kindly let us know if there are any wheat products we can enjoy. Thank you, and I wish you all good things in 2020. Thank you, Francis. Right back at you, wishing you a happy new year, all good things in 2020, and good health. This is a terrific question because, you know, people have been going wheat-free, gluten-free, just because it's been in vogue, right? you've probably read the book Wheat Belly by Dr. Gilliams. That's a wonderful book, Wheat Belly. Here's the thing about wheat. Many people have a wheat allergy or a wheat intolerance or a gluten intolerance or a full-blown celiac disease is another matter. Those folks can't have any wheat or gluten grains at all. But we're just talking about wheat here. Now, if you're able to eat wheat and it's not a problem for you and you're of a normal weight and you're not overdoing your carbs and other things, why not? I remember back in the day sprinkling a little wheat germ on a cereal, you know, when I was a teenager or something like that, or into a yogurt. It is a good source of vitamin E. There are other many good sources of vitamin E as well, are nuts and seeds, particularly something like sesame seeds. There is vitamin E there as well. So yeah, avoid cookies and sweets and things like that made with wheat and especially a refined wheat flour. These are the things you should stay away from for the most part. But if you're having like a whole grain wheat cracker, you know, things like Wassa crackers and things like that come to mind. For those of you who can tolerate wheat and you don't have any problem with it, you can have a very nutritious whole grain wheat cracker. Why not? Why not? Now make sure that you don't have other ingredients in there like, you know, soybean oil or other inflammatory vegetable oils, that it's not high in sodium. Typically they're not. A good nutritious cracker isn't. Now, cream of wheat, Francis, you want to make sure that is a refined cereal, the cream of wheat, farina, they are the same. Get the whole grain if you can find that version, or better yet, get a hot brown rice cereal if you're having grains and you could do a brown rice or something like that. There are all kinds of nutritious wheat products you can enjoy. When you are using wheat bread, make sure it's a whole grain wheat. Your bread, if you are eating bread, should not have more than just a few ingredients, like your whole grain wheat flour, right? Or any other whole grain flour, water, salt, and yeast. That should be it. There shouldn't be any vegetable oil, and certainly not shortening or hydrogenated vegetable oil. That you want to avoid like the plague. So be careful of that. Be careful of that. Now, what is the problem with wheat? Here's the thing, and I'm quoting Dr. Peter Green. He's a doctor at New York Presbyterian up near Columbia University. He's a gastroenterologist, and he is an expert on celiac disease, wheat intolerance, all that. And what he says in his writings is that wheat, or gluten, is a 33 amino acid chain. It's a peptide, a 33 amino acid peptide. That's what gluten is. And you know wheat is a gluten grain. This 33 amino acid peptide is hard to digest. It's that simple. Many humans don't produce enough of the enzyme, whether it's not enough, whether it's underproduced or not produced at all. Those are the people who are feeling bloated and uncomfortable when they eat wheat and gluten. Can you take digestive enzymes? Sure, you could take digestive enzymes. On the horizon may be some kind of novel medication for those with celiac disease, so it does not cause that stirring up of the immune system to attack the intestines. That's the trouble with those with celiac disease. Celiac disease is an autoimmune condition where the intestines are damaged by the consumption of gluten. Francis, if you've got no issues with wheat, no intolerance or anything like that, get some whole grain wheat cracker, wheat bread. Enjoy it in moderation. We don't want too many carbohydrates. Bread does make us fat. Read Wheat Belly by Dr. Gilliams. Read that. It's a good book. And Francis, thank you very, very much for your very thoughtful question. Again, to all of you, you can email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Well, this is news out of Canada, out of Calgary. Low-calorie sweeteners pose a risk to developing babies, according to the research. A University of Calgary study has found a link between obesity risk in newborns and the consumption of low-calorie sweeteners during pregnancy. So, the study has discovered a link between the consumption of low-calorie sweeteners like stevia and obesity and health risks in newborns. The research, led by Dr. Raylene Reimer, and it was just published about a week ago, found the consumption of low-calorie and artificial sweeteners by pregnant women increased body fat in their babies and disrupted gut microbiota. Officials say that the change in the trillions of bacteria that inhabit the intestinal tract makes individuals susceptible to developing a number of serious illnesses. The study's author says that the findings are significant because they can affect babies during their early years, which, as you know, is a critical time in their development. Low-calorie sweeteners are considered safe to consume during pregnancy and lactation. However, evidence is emerging from human studies to suggest they may increase body weight and other cardiovascular risk factors, says Reimer. And she's a professor at the University of Calgary in the Faculty of Kinesiology. Reimer says stevia, a natural low-calorie sweetener extracted from a plant native to South America, had a similar impact on a baby's obesity later in life. The study hasn't yet determined exactly how the sweeteners affect weight gain, but researchers believe it may be because of the changes in the gut microbiota. A healthy pregnancy, including good nutrition, is important for a healthy baby, of course. Our research will continue to examine what makes an optimal diet, and more importantly, seek to find ways to correct disruptions to gut microbiota should they occur. So, daily consumption of low-calorie sweeteners has also been associated with high birth weight babies and early menstruation in girls under 10 years old. I'll tell you what's driving some of this. Insulin. Even in the pregnant mother. Anything that tastes sweet to our taste buds can cause the pancreas to produce insulin. Insulin is a growth factor. These growth factors, when it's over-secreted, is wreaking havoc and causing metabolic disruption, like overweight and obesity later in life. Now, let me also direct you to a study here, and this is the study that they're talking about. And here's the thing. This news report that I just read you talks about babies, assuming humans, right? But this was a rat study, and let me tell you about it. Maternal low-dose aspartame, which you know is Equal, NutraSweet, the blue packet, right? Maternal low-dose aspartame and stevia consumption with an obesogenic diet alters metabolism, gut microbiota, and mesolimbic reward system in rats and their offspring. So, they examined the impact of maternal low-dose aspartame and stevia consumption on obesity, glucose tolerance, gut microbiota, and all that in the rats themselves and in their offspring. Okay? So, what is already known on the subject? That maternal low-calorie sweetener consumption alongside a high sucrose diet may disrupt weight regulation, glucose control, and gut microbiota in rats and their offspring, most notably in early life, despite no direct low-calorie sweetener consumption by the offspring. So the offspring, the baby rats, the newborns, even though they're not taking in any of these sweeteners, it's still causing them to be obese. This is where we're talking about epigenetics. Epigenetics meaning that genetic print, those genes are now being passed on to the later generations. You know, how our grandparents ate absolutely affects our health status, how they were nourished, how our parents were nourished, how we nourish ourselves. But it goes back to there, from generations. Now, this is interesting because these rats were also fed sucrose. That was interesting. So how much is that? That I would figure that that's a potential confounder. But listen, coming back to the original thing I was saying, anything that tastes sweet to our taste buds will cause the pancreas to secrete some insulin. And that's when we get into trouble. That's when our metabolism is affected because it puts us in fat storage mode. I'll give you another example. I've cited this example often because I've seen so many cases of it. A client, a patient will be doing a low-carb diet perfectly. Except they tell me they're having a can of diet soda a day or a glass of diet soda a day. Well, there's the aspartame. Or they're putting some stevia or truvia into their tea or their coffee every day. And they complain that they're not losing any more weight, that they've hit a weight loss plateau. Well, once we remove those sweeteners, see, it's not just sugar, it's all these other sweeteners, because they taste sweet to our taste buds. Because of that, when we remove those sweeteners, those people are able to then break that plateau and continue losing weight. So what's the significance of this study? Well, what is already known on this subject? Maternal diet during pregnancy and lactation contributes to the developmental programming of long-term health and disease susceptibility in offspring. Some evidence suggests that direct low-calorie sweetener consumption or exposure beginning in the womb may promote weight gain and impair glucose tolerance and learning performance. And low-calorie sweetener consumption can alter gut microbiota consumption composition. Now, let me go on to say that they've already done among rats and mice. They've taken skinny mice or lean mice and rats, and they've given them a fecal transplant from an obese rat or mouse. And voila, those thin rats and mice, they become obese. And that has to do with the gut microbiota, the composition of the microbiota. So what are the new findings? And before, my point is that with that fecal transplant, there's something in the microbiota that is also causing obesity, not just the insulin I just spoke to you about. There's something else going on with that microbiota, and this really merits some further research because it's fascinating. Independent of maternal obesity, high-fat sucrose diet, maternal aspartame and stevia consumption increased adiposity, increased fatness in male and female offspring in early life, and impaired glucose tolerance in the male offspring, and particularly with aspartame. NutraSweet is notorious for keeping weight on you. I think it's worse than sugar in many respects because it does other things. It's too excitatory to the brain. It's a neurotoxin, right? And there was a study where they found an association. This is not cause and effect. They found an association between aspartame and lymphoma in men and women. This was a human study observation. Again, it's not cause and effect. It merits a closer, more critical look. So consumption of low-calorie sweetener by the obese, pregnant, and lactating rats altered gut microbiota of offspring, causing, and it was shown with the fecal microbiota transplant, impaired adiposity, impaired fatness and glucose tolerance in early life, despite no direct consumption of sweeteners by their offspring. Maternal aspartame, and to a lesser extent, stevia, altered expression of genes in the brain associated with feeding behavior in the offspring, which could promote consumption of palatable food if presented to the offspring. That learning happens in the womb, in utero. The mother's diet has everything to do with what the offspring, that the baby may crave. Right? Babies already crave sweets. However, this may be doing something to the microbiota, which is absolutely fascinating. So, pregnant ladies, be careful how you eat. Eat well, eat clean, stay away from sugar, try, do your best, and stay away, certainly, from these other sweeteners. Stevia would be a safer one. Stay away from aspartame. Certainly stay away from saccharin. That's the pink packet, the sweet and low packet. The stevia packet is the green packet, also called truvia. It might be another color packet as well. But staying away from these is in your best interest because it may cause overweight obesity in your newborns going forward. It changes. I mean, compare it to, if I may use this analogy, somebody who's drug addicted, say heroin addicted, during pregnancy, and that offspring is born. Of course, that offspring is craving the stuff it is dependent on it, but that's a little different than sugar. We don't become dependent on sugar. However, sugar is the most addictive substance on the planet. It's very hard to break, as many of us know, right? So, but it does build character fast. It does build character fast. This is true. So staying away from these sweeteners is in your best interest. I've had many people say, but stevia is natural. I said, well, you know, so is marijuana. So is poppy. So is heroin. Are we supposed to be ingesting that? So is belladonna. Are we supposed to be ingesting that? Golly, I hope not. Keep all of that in mind. But this is very interesting. And this is an example of epigenetics at work. How the previous generations determine our health and our eating behavior and so forth. And us going forward, this is passed down to our kids and to our grandkids and to our great grandkids. This is important. And another reason to take very, very good care of yourself, especially now that we've entered another new year, new decade, and all of your resolutions. I wish you happiness and good health and joy going forward. And I want to thank you once again for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.